Would you please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4? If you have a Bible or want to use one in front of you today, we continue our series in the book of Genesis and the great stories of the power of a creative God. And then also, as we have continued on into the great stories of early Genesis, the last 2 weeks we've looked at the story of Adam and Eve. And this morning we turn our attention to the story of Cain and Abel, two brothers, the first two children born to Adam and Eve, and their story is told in chapter 4. We're reading again about the authority of God, and in everything we look at in this series in the book of Genesis, it's important that we remember and affirm the authority of God. And this story in Genesis chapter 4 falls right into that. Would you stand with me as we read the first 8 verses of Genesis chapter 4? Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like for us to look at several different things about this story from Genesis chapter 4, about these two brothers, and about how the story of Cain especially is reflective of our story. I said a little bit ago earlier in the service that I do believe that every scripture, every chapter, every part of the Bible has a purpose for us. I don't always know what it is, and from time to time the Holy Spirit prompts us and shows us things that He might not show our neighbor and vice versa, but God has something to say to us from every story in the Bible, and I believe it's true of the story of Cain and Abel. One of the first things that I notice about Cain and Abel in this story is how different these brothers were. I know that we don't have a lot of detail about Cain and Abel, only a few things that we can understand about their lives. We knew that they're both, by the time this story takes place, they're men. They've grown up as brothers, teenagers, and probably young men, maybe in their 20s or somewhere around there, something like that by this time. But what we do know about Cain and Abel is they were different. That certainly doesn't strike us as unusual. Every brothers are different, sisters are different. All of you that have siblings, I bet you could name 1,000 ways that you're different from your brother or your sister. Fact is, there might be some things that you're the same as your brother or your sister, but the truth is, we know how different we are. We're different in the way we look. We're different in things that we enjoy doing. We're different in our personalities. We're different in a lot of ways. And we know that there were some differences between Cain and Abel. Some of them were likely the natural differences of life. Adam and Eve, two different sons. Though born to the same home, they were different, just as we are. We know that Cain worked the soil, and he must have enjoyed taking care of plants and fruits and vegetables, and Abel kept the flocks, and that's a big difference right there. What were their interests? It's interesting that both men in this story came to worship the Lord. We know that at this point, at least in their lives, both of these men were calling on the name of the Lord, and that just reminds us that this is the next story that takes place after Adam and Eve, and we might wonder what would happen to the heart of man about believing God and trusting God and responding to God, but we know very early on in man's history that man continued to have that inner nature, that inner desire, that inner connection to be connected with God, and so both these men, it says, brought their offering or came before the Lord to worship Him. There was a natural desire to acknowledge God in both Cain and Abel. In all of the history of humanity, no matter how dark man has been in his sin nature, there's always been the history of religion and the history of man reaching out to God, trying to be connected to God, trying to understand God. And so we have so many stories from history about where man came from and who the Creator God is and all those things. Every culture, every nation, every language have believed in God and in some way tried to understand or tried to connect with God. And we know in this very early story that both Cain and Abel came to worship God. It says that they brought their first fruits. Cain brought the first fruits from the plants in the field, and Abel brought the first fruits from the fat of the offering of the animal that he brought. Both of them brought of their firstborn or their first fruits, and as far as we know, both of these kinds of sacrifices on their own would be acceptable, because later on in the story of the Old Testament, these kinds of sacrifices were accepted by God. However, there was a difference between Cain and Abel. Verse 4 says, "The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but he did not look with favor on Cain and his offering." We don't know exactly why. We only speculate as to why it was that God looked upon these two brothers, these two men, and one of them, God saw the man and he saw the offering and he was pleased with that. And on the other side, he saw the other man and he saw the offering and he was not pleased with it. We're not told exactly why, but we know that there was something that was going on inside the heart of Cain and inside the heart of Abel that caused one to be accepted by God and one to be rejected on by God. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. We know from this context of this story that there was something that was going on in the heart of Cain that was not right with God. And so his offering was unacceptable. We know that Cain's heart was not right with God, that Cain was holding out on obedience to God. He had not decided the question of who was in charge, and so there was something inside of Cain that kept his sacrifice from being acceptable to God. I mean, we certainly believe about God that God had a reason. We don't know exactly what it is. No amount of first fruits of the soil could make up for something that was going on within the heart of Cain. No amount of vegetables and fruit, no amount of any sacrifice that Cain could come up with from all that he had made as he tilled the soil and he raised the crops and the food could make up for what was going on in his heart that wasn't right before God. The story of Cain and Abel reminds us that God always looks to the heart. God always looks to the heart of who we are. We see the outside. We may see the outside of each other, but we know that God always looks into the heart and he cares deeply about your heart. Both sin and obedience, both a responsiveness to the authority of God or a rejection of the authority of God, always begins in the heart. And God looked into Cain's heart and he could see that his heart was not right. It's not just our words or our external things that God looks at and God cares about in your life. God does care about those external things, and sometimes preachers probably focus a lot more on the external things. God cares about your character. He cares about your moral choices. He cares about the words you use around other people. He cares about how you treat people. All those are important to the heart of God, but everything there, it always goes back and begins with the root of the heart before God. Somewhere, although we don't know the specific details, Cain's heart was not right before God. We know that God is looking into our hearts, and he cares deeply about us. We know that God knows when we have a struggle on the inside. God knows the temptations that we experience in our hearts. He knows when we're tired. He knows when we feel vulnerable. He knows when we feel hurt. Don't ever think that God doesn't know everything about you. The truth is, God knows everything from the external things that other people see to the very deepest internal part of whether in your heart or not you acknowledge the authority of God and you respond to him. God cares deeply about your heart. He cares deeply about what's going on the inside of you. We only know a little bit about what must have been going on within Cain, but his story reminds us of how important it is to keep our heart right with God. You might say it another way. God knew all about Cain and his attitude. God knows our attitude. He knows when we're struggling with something. He knows when we feel hurt. He knows when we're feeling upset about something. He knows when those feelings turn into something that we can't deal with and we can't get rid of and we can't overcome and we can't get victory from, and that begins to eat at us as it did Cain. You see, Cain was upset about something. We don't know exactly what, but we know his heart wasn't right with God, and God called him on it. God confronted him on him, and what did Cain do? Cain became angry. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" See, God knew exactly where Cain was at. You have things going on the inside of your heart and your spirit. Number one, you might think, well, does God care about that? The answer is yes. The second thing, does God know what I feel? The answer is yes. God knows your feelings. We might not talk about feelings a lot, but this morning in this message, I want to talk a little bit about feelings. We all have them. We all have good feelings. We all have bad feelings. It's a part of life. We face difficult things that are painful, and we have feelings about it. I've always said you can't help what you feel. I believe that. People feel all kinds of things. Sometimes they're good feelings. Sometimes they're negative feelings. Sometimes they're healthy feelings. Sometimes they're unhealthy feelings. We're human. We're part of Adam's race. We have feelings. We deal with disappointments. We deal with things that aren't the way they're supposed to be. We deal with our past. We deal with our failures. We deal with what we've messed up. We deal with how other people have messed us up. We deal with feelings. Feelings are normal and natural. And the story of Cain reminds me of feelings and how important they are to the human race. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" I don't know exactly what all he was upset about, but his attitude, he was feeling things that were very negative. Negative feelings sometimes we can't help and we cannot control. And in this story to this point, I wouldn't say to Cain that God's blaming him because he has negative feelings. God's saying, you better deal with it. You better deal with your feelings, or otherwise it's going to lead to something very painful in your life. One thing that I also notice about this story in Cain and Abel and reminded of is that God continued to work with Cain. God didn't give up quickly on Cain. He could have written Cain off because of his bad attitude. He knew that he wasn't right with him. God could have said, "Cain, I don't care about you anymore." But instead, God comes back to Cain and he tries to get him to change and he tries to get him to deal with what's going on inside of him. As far as we know, I don't know, Cain could have done a lot of external sins up to this point. We don't know that, but we know that he had stuff going on the inside. And God comes to him and he speaks to him. God spoke to his heart. God gave him another opportunity. I think in this story, another amazing thing about this story to me is how God continues to reach out to Cain. God continues to try to say, "Cain, I've not given up on you. I want to call you back. I want you to think about this. I want you to listen to me before it's too late." Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" God was speaking to Cain and saying, "Cain, you got to do something about what you're feeling on the inside. You're angry. You've been rejected. And we don't know all the reason for it, but God says if you do what's right, don't you know that you'll be rewarded for that? Your sacrifice will be acceptable to me if you do what's right, if your heart is right, if you deal with the things in your heart that you need to, then I will bless you. I will help you. I will accept you." And it's important when we struggle with things on the inside to remember that the same God that can forgive immorality and murder and all those other things, those external things, God can also deal with the inside of our hearts when we're struggling with things that aren't right before Him. God can cleanse us. God can clean us up, and He cares deeply about our hearts. Sometimes we struggle a lot with a hard attitude. We don't see that. We don't think of that as sin. We don't think of that as keeping us separated from God. But what's going on inside your heart is only it's the beginning point of the things that you deal with in your life and the problems that you deal with in your life. It begins in the heart. And so you go back to the heart to find God's help and God's cleansing. And if Cain would have dealt with this, the story would have turned out differently. You see, Adam's sin had opened a floodgate of selfishness, of self-pity. We know Adam and Eve, what did they do when they sinned? They began to make excuses. The serpent made me do it. My wife Eve made me do it. You know, it just right away, rationalization. It's the same way with Cain. What happens when God comes and confronts Cain? Where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? You know, denial of responsibility. You know, sometimes there's a denial of the responsibility for our negative feelings. Sometimes we carry an attitude toward people and this chip on our shoulder, and we can carry this spirit about people or about others or about organizations or about them, they, somebody out there. And really what it is not dealing with our own issues on the inside of attitude. And we can see people pretty negatively. We can blame everybody else for our own problems. What we really need to do is come before God and answer the question that God asked Cain. Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? We all know it. Sometimes people that we live around, we see all the negativity and bitterness inside of them, and we really know probably what they really need to do is look in the mirror more than focus on how what everybody else has done to them. This story and others from the Bible remind us of that. What did Jesus say? Instead of looking at the fault in our brother's eye, look at the mote in your own. See, Cain had this tendency. Apparently, he never dealt with the bitter root that was going on inside of him. I said, I don't know exactly what his bitter root was, but to me, just the story reminds me, and it just describes that general nature that we can have of a bitterness on the inside that keeps us from joy. It keeps us from blessing. It keeps us from sensing the joy of the Lord in the heart of God because we're focused on something that's painful in our past or painful in our circumstances. We're never able to get around that. Here God was speaking to Cain right in the midst of a bad attitude and challenging Cain. Cain, you need to do something about it. You need to change it. You need to confront it. It needs to be dealt with. You shouldn't be hiding it. You shouldn't be hiding behind it. Notice what God says again one more time to Cain. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? See, God saw Cain's heart. He understood his attitude. He understood his hardness. And God understood the bitterness going on inside of Cain. God knew that Cain needed to deal with it or it would destroy him. A bitter spirit is very destructive. Just like when we talked about with Adam and Eve, sometimes the consequences came right away for Adam and Eve, and other consequences came later. It's the same about a bitter spirit. When you're dealing with bitterness in your heart towards someone, maybe a family member, maybe a spouse, maybe a parent, maybe someone in your family or someone at the workplace, and you can't let go of it, and that bitterness is eating you up, it will destroy you. It will keep you from having the joy that God wants in your heart and your spirit. A bitter spirit is very destructive. God was giving Cain a chance to deal with the bitterness before it destroyed him. The Apostle Paul calls it, in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, the bitter root that defiles many. He talks about bitterness and how it grows up. And it's just real small to start with, but when you nurture it, when you feed it, when you allow it, when you don't call on God's Spirit to cut it out and remove it, a bitter spirit only gets worse. And it begins to take over a little bit more and a little bit more. And we've heard of roots that are under the ground and they somehow find a way to get up into a pipe, just into the crack and begin to push it and split it until finally it just can burst and break the pipe. That's the way a root is. That's the way a true root is. That's the way a tree root is. And that's the way a bitter spirit is. At first, it might not seem that big of a deal. And, you know, we just kind of hold on to it and we don't call it what it is. We really don't look in the mirror to start with and acknowledge our part of it. Or we hold on to the hurt that somebody does to us and we don't let it go. And what it does, it just begins to infect us more. It begins to go through our bloodstream and our system. And Paul says it defiles many. Bitterness is so very painful. It's a hook that Satan uses so many times. I've said before that Satan has many different hooks. I've talked about many of them in the last few weeks, but one of them is the root of bitterness. It's not being able to let go of the things that hurt us in our lives. Satan takes that pain and that disappointment and maybe that feeling of brokenness, maybe that feeling of betrayal, maybe that feeling that someone has hurt us, and life has dealt us a painful blow. And I just want to tell you this. I want to promise you that if that's what you got going, don't think Satan's going to go easy on you. Don't think that, well, Satan's going to say, you've had it hard enough. Satan's not going to do that. He's going to take that and he's going to push that button as hard as he can. There's somebody in your workplace that did you dirty. Satan's going to take that and he's going to try to remind you of that. He's going to push the button for animosity. Hold on to it. You have a right to be angry. You have a right not to talk to that person across the aisle at church. You remember what they did to you back in the 80s? You have a right to your bitterness. You have a right to blame other people for why you're negative. You have a right to say, I don't want to enjoy life in God anymore. I don't want to smile. I don't want to spread the joy of the Lord. You have a right to that, Satan will tell you. Our scripture the last few weeks in James also says, you know who the enemy is? He's a roaring lion that is wandering about to and fro, watching for who he may devour. There's some of you, this is Satan's hook in your life. There's some of you that have some painful things in your life. And I'm sorry, but you need to know that God can deal with it and you can't. The longer you make excuses for bitterness, the further away you go from the healing power of God. The more you blame others for your attitude, the further you will be from hearing God's Spirit in your life. Somehow Cain hardened his heart and he didn't listen to the Spirit of God. Most of the time, when we struggle with bitterness, we don't see that for what it is. Too many people, sometimes good people, are often robbed from the joy of the Lord because they don't realize it. They don't see that it's the enemy pushing the button and pulling the hook for them about bitterness. There's always some other reason why I'm not happy. I always have a reason why I don't have any joy. Number one, God understands you. And number two, God cares about you. And if that's where you're at today, I want you to know there's an amazing God. God alone can help you to deal with the hurt and the pain in your life. If that keeps you from the joy of the Lord, let me tell you today, God already understands that. He knows where there's a negativity. He knows where your feelings are hurt. He knows where you don't know how to let it go. He knows if you're judgmental. He already knows if you're dissatisfied with life. He already knows if you're harsh. He already knows if you're stubborn. It's not like God is surprised by what's going on. He knew exactly, Cain, why are you angry and why is your face downcast? You know, some people are just like Cain. They come and they bring their offering, but they don't understand why God hasn't accepted them. It might be because they've hardened their heart before God. It's painful when we feel that way. Sometimes we come and maybe we come to church or some other place and read the word and pray and we think, where is God? God doesn't hear me. I just want you to know that God cares deeply about you. Just because you bring your offering doesn't mean you've dealt with all the issues in your life. And Cain was a man who brought his offering, but he hadn't dealt with all his issues. Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? We know that bitterness eats away at us. Bitterness consumes, it distracts, it sours, it makes us critical, makes us see all the negative things. It robs us from the joy of the Lord. Watch out, whoever you are, wherever you're at, that Satan doesn't use this hook to hook you and your life. Do you have some issues in your life that you really need to answer this question before God? Why are you angry and why is your face downcast? Be honest with God. He can help you to deal with the negative feelings in your heart. I mean, here was Cain bringing an offering to the Lord, but upon Cain, God did not find favor. I have a feeling if God could help us to release the bitterness, then our offering would be acceptable to Him. Proverbs chapter 4 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. How important this story reminds us about guarding those deep places in our heart that maybe nobody else knows. And it's down in there and we know it, but God knows it. He wants us to guard that. Watch over that. God cares deeply about your attitude and how you deal with those hurts in your life. Sin always begins in the heart. It's at that point that God also can change you. God can cleanse your heart. Song we sang at the beginning of the service is so true. It's the power of the blood of Jesus that can take away sin. It can take away that self-centeredness. It can take away that spirit of hurt and bitterness and pain. A bitter spirit needs to call on God. A bitter spirit needs to cry out to God, God, I need you. I ask you to come and cleanse me. A bitter spirit needs to be confessed. You've got to be honest with God. You've got to be honest about bitterness. You've got to call it what it is and not make excuses, not blame other people, not blame the past, but say, God, it's wrong before you and only you can fix it and cleanse it. We have a choice. Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, he says, but if you do what is right If you do not do what is right, I'm sorry. Look at verse 7. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, and you must master it. This is what happens. This is one thing that can happen and did in this story that happened because there was a man that didn't deal with those internal conflicts that he had. God warned him. God said, Cain, I care about you. Let me tell you something, Cain. There's the enemy, and he's crouching right there at your door, right at your little attitude door, right at that little inside place of your heart and your attitude. And he's crouching, and he really wants you. He really wants you. But Cain, you can master it. Cain had a choice. He chose to harden his heart. He chose to make excuses. He chose to say, nope, I have a right to my whatever. I have a right to my feelings. I have a right to my bitterness. I have a right to hold on to them. But you must master it. Nope. God, I'm in charge. They hurt me, and I'm going to hold on to it. And this is what happens when we don't master it. Death. The first death. Separation from God. That's what it leads to. Bitterness leads to death. It leads to separation from God. God, in His mercy, kept giving signs to Cain, but Cain ignored them. He ignored God's warning. Death came to the human story. Some ways Adam and Eve set us up for sin. We know that, the sin nature. We don't quite understand it and all, but Cain did too. Cain set us up for the destructive consequence that comes with harboring negative feelings and not dealing with them of a bitter spirit. The story of Cain also set us up. In 2 weeks, Lord willing, I'm going to continue the story of Cain and Abel about dealing with our conflicts. Is sin crouching at your door today? Is there an enemy that's crouching in your life? Do you need just to call out to God and say, God, I can't handle this. I don't want to live with this. The issue of bitterness might be the biggest challenge for the church. Because we can come and worship. We can bring our offering of service. Can bring our offering of money. But never deal with the deepest things in our hearts that matter to God. In fact, sometimes people come to church because they feel like if they do, they won't have to deal with it. So the challenge for our church today is there anything that God wants to speak to in your life? Is there an enemy that's crouching at your door? Is there anything that you need to pray, God, take it away in my heart and my life? God cares deeply about you. And what we need in this church, and we need today, is a continuous sense of humility before God. Continual sense of saying, God, I give you it all. I give you my feelings. When I can't control them, when I don't like them, I give them to you. And I ask you to cleanse me. Make me clean. Stand with me as we pray, please. The altar is always a good place to come and pray. And sometimes I specifically ask people if they want to come to pray. And most of the time I usually just say, I want you to do whatever God calls you to do. Sometimes it's pray right where you're at. I'm not into trying to make people pray a certain place or whatever. I just know that this issue is very real. And you know it too. You can have a response like Cain, or you can have a response like some other people in the scriptures. Think of a man named David, how he messed up. Come to think about it, David was a murderer too. But boy, did he come clean with God. And then God said, that's a man after my own heart. Honesty before God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your word and this great book of the Bible, Genesis, and these great stories and your great truth. God, help us to hear from it what you want us to today. Thank you, God, for your great love. Even though Adam and Eve sinned and Cain sinned, and you would think you would have just wiped us all out then, but you continued to reach out with your mercy and your words, and you kept reaching out to Cain, and you continue to reach out through human history, and even today, I know your Holy Spirit is reaching out to us. Lord God, we know that you know us already. We know, God, that you care about our needs and our problems and our pains. You don't just want to leave us in those places that are dark and difficult, but God, you want to come alongside us to bring your healing and your help and your forgiveness and your cleansing, and today you offer that to us. I pray, God, that there would be a sense of humility in this service this morning that says, God, we give you freedom to examine everything inside of us. Help us to be hungry for that. Help us to be hungry for your cleansing and hungry for you and hungry, God, to let go of anything that would keep our sacrifice from being acceptable to you. Help us to learn in humility today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today.